And now may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. The psalm, first verse of that psalm that Baker read this morning, only a fool says in his heart, there is no God. I think of a picture of a bumper sticker that I took outside of a UPS building. It said, born again pagan. I kind of was taken back a little bit about that. It had such a stark a ring to it. I took a picture of it just to save it. So they are probably more atheists or determined agnostics to say we just will never know. But I'm going to make the assumption that there are no atheists here this morning. You never know. But I'm going to make that assumption that there are no atheists. And I'm talking about people who think that the beauty of this place, the beauty of this world, is just kind of the fortunate accident of billions of years of evolution rather than a creator. But I'm also going to make the assumption that those of us who are theists, the opposite of atheists, who believe there is a God, believe that to know God personally, God will have to reveal himself. He'll have to make himself known, because the creature cannot form himself of the creator, and the finite cannot inform itself of the infinite. If we want to know how God reacts to disappointment, to rejection, to pain, to hatred, to nails being driven through his hands, we need to look to Jesus. Because Jesus, if you know Jesus, then you know the very heart of God. And one of the ways Jesus, other than his life and his death and his resurrection, was that he told many parables. In fact, he told 36 parables that we can find in the Bible, all of which taken together, you know, no one parable can be a compendium of everything we can learn about God, but taken together, they reveal the very heart of God. And these parables that we heard Jesus teach, especially I'm going to concentrate on the first one that was read again by Baker this morning, the parable of the lost sheep, where these 99 righteous sheep are in the sheepfold. And I can promise you the reason they were declared righteous through the death and resurrection of Jesus. He's the gateway. He's how we get into the one flock. But he has 99 in the sheepfold. One gets away. One leaves the flock. I like to call it backslider. If you know what that might be, who left. And the good shepherd is not determined to stay there and say, well, look, I have 99, so it was his decision to leave, so he's going to have to make the bed he lies in. No. He goes out into the wilderness and finds the one lost sheep. It's just a remarkable parable. Puts it on his shoulders, brings it back. I saw an ancient etching, a German etching of the good shepherd with determination in his eyes. I found it in a antique gift shop. Paid $20 for it. Come to find out, it's probably worth $120. I don't know, but it's such a wonderful etching, German etching, with the shepherd already has holes in his hands, and the shepherd, the look in his eyes and determination, and he has a thorn crown. When Jane and I were in Northern Ireland, not too many years ago, we went into a quaint Protestant church there in Upperlands, not too far from Belfast, an hour train ride up from Belfast. But the rector there this morning had apparently invited the children up to the front on the steps that they would bring the following week, a stuffed animal that most represented, or in some way most represented, the kind of person that they wanted to grow up to be. And they would have these children, and he gave a little Hamlet child's sermon to them, and says, "Well, we have lots of stuffed toys this morning. Tell me, lassie or lad, tell me about what you have brought." He said, "Well, I brought a lion," the kid said. "Well, what is it about a lion that you so want to be like when you grow up?" He said, "Courage, courage." And now, how about you, lass? What, the teddy bear, what about the teddy? Because they're so lovable. Horsey, we have a horsey here. What about the horse do you want to be like when you grow up in some way or another? Swift, and strong, and beautiful. I get all that. And then the preacher says, "But let me tell you now how God, what animal God thinks you are most alike above all the animals." He said, "Sheep." The children were not impressed, because in that part of the world, the sheep are known to be rather, I'm going to use the word stupid, they're just not the smartest animals in the world. They are totally dependent. They wander off, and they're prone to wander, as we will say in the confessional, to err the good shepherd's ways and to get lost. And so the children were kind of mystified by it, and then he says, but let me tell you the good news, is the good shepherd loves his sheep more than you and I can imagine. He knows them by name, as Jesus explains in another parable. He knows them by their condition, by, about their what's going on. And he loves them to the point that he would lay down his life for the sheep. It was a beautiful child's homily, very effective. And then he went on. The children were dismissed to go out to wherever they went. And the pastor preached an adult sermon, and I have no idea what he was talking about. And I don't think anybody did. There's a lesson there to learn when you're doing sermons. Keep it simple, where you can understand what you're talking about. At any rate, what we can thank God for, I think, is the fact that we are compared to cattle, you know, that are guided around by electrical pod or swine, for Lord's sakes, that wallow in the mire and in the mud. But we're called out of that into the flock. So what a powerful glance we get into the very heart of God. And the parable also brings up what I call a preacher's question. Is like, what can we learn about this? What can we learn about ourselves in this parable? And the preacher's question would be simply, is that, where are you in terms of the flock? You're in church, and so I would normally assume that you have always been in the flock. I don't know. I know I wasn't. I was very lost for, I had a childhood faith, but I was indoctrinated in college and learned that I had to be more intelligent to buy into what all the Christian faith proposes. But perhaps you can identify in some way about a time where you might have not been in the fold, and perhaps now you have heard the Good Shepherd. And but it just brings up a question to ask where we are in our Christian journey and how we can thank God for being in the fold, so to speak. And remember, one of the things a good shepherd did is that he slept in the evenings right at the gateway into the flock to protect us from our greatest enemy, the wolf, in the case of the sheep, but in our case, the devil himself. But a chance to see where we are and to give thanks to God for his providence and for his love And the sheep's proclamation will always be to the world that the good shepherd laid down his life for the flock. That will be the primary proclamation that we have to the world. One shepherd, Jesus Christ, one flock, we are his flock, one hope, one faith, Jesus Christ, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who with his Son Christ and the Holy Spirit reign forever and ever. And for that we can say, thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.